Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Beard, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our studies in the various ways of serving the Lord. Already, we have considered serving Him as a servant, then serving Him as a steward, serving Him as ambassadors, and today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider serving the Lord as a teacher, and then as a shepherd, and then as a family member. And we do not want to leave the impression that all the various ways of serving the Lord are comprehended in these six subjects. We are just taking these six subjects as a challenge and thinking of them, of the various ways of serving the Lord. All right, today we're going to consider serving Him as a teacher. Now, this is in regard to salvation, and then it's in regard to living the Christian life. Now, the Great Commission, for instance, that which we read in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 to 20, we read there when Jesus was, just as He was leaving His disciples, He gave them this instruction. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the age or the world." Amen. All right, now, we are to teach all nations, and most versions today will render this word teaching as discipling. Go ye therefore and disciple all nations. But we have to teach them in order to disciple them. And now, in order to disciple them, we've got to see them pass from death unto life. And that is where the gospel comes in. We teach the gospel. A teacher imparts knowledge that you would not otherwise have known had he not spoken to you. And when we are teaching the word of God, we teach the gospel. People need to learn that they're sinners. They need to learn that God loves them. They need to learn that Christ died for them. They need to learn that there's no other way of salvation, that they cannot accomplish their own salvation. They don't need works at all. They simply need to depend upon the Christ as He died for us on the cross of Calvary. And they need to be taught these things. They need to be made to understand that they cannot save themselves. We need to preach the gospel as expressed in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. And we read in that wonderful portion of Scripture the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we'll read them. "For I delivered unto you, first of all," the words that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Paul. I should correct myself. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now notice, please. Here we have His work on the cross, and the fact that He really died, and that He was buried. That is, He was wound up in swaddling clothes, burying clothes, rather, and could not breathe. He was really dead, and then He rose again the third day from the dead according to the Scriptures. This is all a part of the gospel. Incidentally, the word gospel means glad tidings. It's good news, and it's the best news you ever heard, that God wants you in His heaven, and He's given you the ticket to get there if you'll take it. He provides the transportation. All right, let's go through this now. Now, to make disciples of all nations by bringing them the gospel, before they can be disciples, they must have life, be born again, according to the third chapter of John. Now, the Spirit is very much involved. The Holy Spirit, the capital Spirit with capital S, is much involved in this, in that He must convict of sin before we will seek a Savior. That's so important. We will need to be brought into the knowledge of the fact that we're sinners. Now, I know that people don't like this. They want to be patted on the back. They wanted to be appealed to develop the best that's within us. Well, the best that is within us can't save us. God gives us that which is best, and he gives it, incidentally, within us by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. In John 16, 8 and 9, we read, "And when he has come," that is when the Spirit has come, the Lord is talking to his disciples at the time of his departure, "and when he has come," that is the Spirit, "he will reprove or convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me." That is the worst sin in the universe. We think of adultery, we think of rape, we think of murder, and think of those being heinous sins. Indeed, they are. But the worst sin that will keep us out of heaven is failing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do need this evidence of conviction. Now, some of the evidences of conviction: do we fear death? And do our sins bother us when we think of dying and meeting God? Are we ready to meet the Lord? These are some of the evidences of the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And he convicts us of our sin. We read in the book of Genesis, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." He strives with us. He tries to convince us. And we teach this. And they understand that they need to be saved. And the Spirit of God indeed convicts of our sin. Now, how does he do it? Well, he gives us thoughts. He is able to plant thoughts and suggestions in our mind. Satan plants thoughts and suggestions in our mind and tempts us. He gives us the idea of sinning and how good it would be. Are we going to grant Satan a privilege that we deny the Holy Spirit of God? Of course not. The Holy Spirit of God can make us feel our need of Christ. Don't resist it. Yield to it. Realize that you do need to be saved. This is a part of making a disciple, passing from death unto life. Now, the gospel believed brings them to life. We read in Acts 16, verses 30 and 31 there, "And he brought them out," this is the Philippian jailer who had incarcerated Paul and Silas, "and there was an earthquake, and all the doors were thrown open, and the jailer thought that the convicts had escaped, and that meant his own death, if they escaped. And he brought them out of their bonds and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' He was a frightened man. And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.'" Now notice he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Don't believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's only incidental. Believe on him. Trust in him. Believe that he died for you. Believe that God was satisfied with his work in that he raised him from the dead. That's a part of the gospel, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 4. That's a part of the gospel. God raised him from the dead. All our sins were placed on Christ, according to Isaiah 53 and 6. All our iniquities were laid upon him. They were laid to his charge, and he accepted the charge. And he died for them. He died for them that we might be saved. Now, if all our sins were laid on Christ and after he died on the cross, could he have gone back to heaven with those sins still charged to him? Suppose that one of my sins was so black, so heinous, that his death didn't satisfy God. Could he have gone back to heaven bearing that sin? Of course not. His resurrection is proof positive that the question of sin is settled, that debt is paid. Oh, how wonderful to believe the God of grace and his love to us. Remember John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," or on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How wonderful. This will raise a feeling of awe, wonder, deep thankfulness, peace, and love toward the Lord in our hearts. Now, in regard to living the Christian life, we still need teachers. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Notice, please. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, we need to be taught how to live the Christian life. And the Lord Jesus has given us those teachers. Paul was one of the great teachers of the Scripture. The Lord Jesus, of course, is the greatest. When he was at his home assembly, we read that home synagogue in Luke chapter 4, and verses 4 and 15, and 14 and 15, I'm sorry. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all nations round about. And he taught them in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He taught them. The Lord was always teaching. He went into the temple and taught. He gave us the Sermon on the Mount. He teaches. We need to be taught how to live the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You notice, that which the Holy Ghost teacheth. We need to be taught how to live the Christian life. The Apostle Paul, in his instructions in Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 24, we read there, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And then we read in verse 24 of that same chapter, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient. Who are some of the greatest teachers among us? Those great radio preachers that have worldwide ministries? I don't believe so. Do you know who I think is the greatest teachers among us? The Sunday school teachers. They teach the children whose minds are so receptive, so believing. And oh God, they get saved. How many boys and girls have been raised to do the work of God? We need to be taught how to live the Christian life. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, show us how we can best honor Christ in this life that you have given us to live. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.